All right. Anybody excited about things that are happening right here at Cross Point? Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. And I invite those of you that are here for the first time, come on, just get engaged. And there's a lot you can get engaged with around here and be a part. And we really emphasize small groups around here. As you heard, and you heard a lot of applause about that. We are actually not a church with small groups. We're a church of small groups because we believe that real life context of relationships, authentic life-giving relationships. And so we actually don't, our small groups are, if it happens to be a curriculum-based small group, the curriculum is just an excuse. The real goal is to get you in relationship with somebody because we believe that God uses people to heal people. He said, pray for one another that you may be healed. And so that's, we believe that's how that happens. So we may be small groups doing disc golf. I know about disc golf because my kids play disc golf a lot, and but just whatever that looks like, you just bring a spiritual element to that, you do life together, and things happen in that context. So I encourage you to be involved, get involved in that. You don't have to be a member of this church, you're in a small group. We'd love to have you. And so I want to jump right into this series, and as I do, let me just say a heartfelt welcome to all those. Each week we hear so many people in different parts of the country, and even sometimes in the world, recently Croatia, actually, that joined us online. Thank you for our online campus. Come on, get a clap on them. Yeah, we're glad you're here. We're glad that you're here. And I just want to jump right into this series. Again, we're so excited as we begin this fall semester. School starting back, UNC Charlotte is back. I was going through, got off a light rail, I guess it was Saturday, and I was right there on campus and just seeing the buzzing and all the things and parents. I saw dad had a shirt on, said, "Dad, UNC Charlotte, Dad," you know, and he was helping his kid move in, and it's so excited. I told somebody this morning that I said, just consider my wife and I mom and dad away from mom and dad. We'd love to be your home away from home. And so we're here for you. So glad that you are here. As we conclude this series, we've been in a summer series that, and let me just kind of explain why we've been in this series of 21 days. And that is that we believe that sometimes in summer you kind of get into a slump. Fall is a season of harvest. It's true in the natural. It's also true in the spiritual. And so sometimes we feel like we need to prepare for that harvest. And one of the best ways that we can prepare for that is through prayer. And so somebody was sharing with me before service began that they, for the first time, went onto our website, and there we have a link where there are live services that are happening each morning. Those services are actually happening live at 6 a.m. in the original time zone, but for us it's 7 a.m. And during that time, the services are airing. You'll see what's exciting. You'll see people coming together. It's based out of a church out of Alabama. There's thousands of people that get up every morning at 6 a.m. That's encouraging alone, just to see people that are getting up. And, you know, there's a play call that has been called, and they respond, and they're there. And so thousands of churches are joining with them these past 15 days, as we're doing this 21 days. It's just a great time to go all in. The wonderful thing about that is those services are archived for 24 hours. So if 7 to 8 a.m. is not a good time for you to watch it live, you can watch it later on during your day. So I encourage you, go on our website, crosspointworshipcenter.com, check that out, and you'll be a part of a one-hour prayer service that will really, I believe, impact your life. And so I encourage you with that. One of the things that we're doing in this 21 days is our goal is that we just want to get closer. Everybody say closer. We just want to get closer to God. The wonderful thing about this is that God wants to get closer to us. That's a neat thing. In fact, it's God that initiated this process, not us. The Bible says that he first loved us. And so we're responding for his call, right? It's like when I called my wife up on our first date, I called her father answered, and thank God he gave her the phone, and she said, "Darren Hobbs, what are you doing?" And I didn't know then, but I should have answered, I don't know, I think I'm about to spend the rest of my life with you, you know. But I called, but fortunately there was somebody that answered. Okay, so God calls us, and but he initiates this process, but we're answering. He wants us to get closer to him. The Bible tells us that it's the Spirit of God that draws us to him, and so we are actually responding to him. The neat thing about this is that the Bible tells us that if we draw closer to God, he will draw closer to us. So we bring what we bring. We know what we bring. Sometimes it's a mess. Sometimes it's not all together. It's not always pretty. But even at our best, we're a mess. And yet we bring that to God, but then God brings his best to us. And how powerful that is that we can lay down, the Bible tells us we lay down our filthy rags. Our clothes are like filthy rags. He gives us his robe of righteousness. That's how we can stand before the God whole and complete and well, because we stand there not in our own righteousness, but in what Jesus did for us. That's good news, everybody, right? So that's the goal of this message, is that we get closer to God. And I think sometimes, now let me just sort of backtrack for just a moment here, just to say the last couple of weeks, we talked in week one of this 21 days about prayer, the importance of prayer. If you missed that, those messages are archived online. You can go back and listen to those. And then last week we talked about the word, how it's important as we're praying. One of the ways that we have a dialogue with God is he speaks to us through the word. Someone said, when you can't hear God, read God. Isn't that good? And so we talked about that last week. Today I want to talk about a third thing. We're talking about prayer, we're talking about the word. I want to talk about worship. Worship is so important. So prayer is not just petitioning, it's positioning. And worship is really positioning ourselves to receive. You know, you need to ask in faith, but you also need to be able to receive in faith. And worship is a part of that. It's opening ourselves up to God. And I think when we think about worship, sometimes we don't have the right definition of it. We think worship is coming into a formal setting, a church setting, where we sing certain songs and we bow and we kneel and we do certain things. But that's really not worship, really is. And let me just say this, that we are all worshiping something. Worship is when you're expressing your love to something. And all of that is something that we like. It's getting your attention. Let me put it that way. What is getting your attention? Something is getting your attention. It's getting your time. It's getting your money. It's getting your loyalty, your adoration. It's on your calendar. You know, it may be hunting. It may be fishing. It may be football. You know, football's a religion. Y'all know that, don't you? We're going to find that out in a minute. By the way, I didn't get season tickets for the football game. Sorry if you're an athlete. I got it for the halftime show. Thank you. Pride of the United Nation marching band. But anyway, that's why I'm there. But anyway, And it may be band, it may be music, but we're worshiping something. Now listen, God doesn't mind you having something. He doesn't mind you having a love for something as long as it's not something that you put in front of him. He doesn't want you to love it more than you love him. He said, have no other gods before me. So let me put it to you this way. Worship is our response to what we value the most. By the way, beginning in September, we're going to have message notes that will have fill in the blanks. Right now, today, you have blank notes. So during your worship guide, if you want to take some notes, I encourage you to do that. And the fill-ins will be back in September. But we're all worshiping something. And worship really is our response to what we value most, according to Pastor Robert Morris. I think that's put very well. Today, I want to just get a little bit theological. So a lot of times, I kind of like to be on the shallow end of the pool at times. Not that we're shallow, but I just always like to put the cookies on the bottom shelf where everybody can get to them, right? But today we're going to go a little bit deep. We're going to go on the deep end of the pool. This is the final installment of this series. And so we're going to go a little bit deep. We're going to go a little bit into some theology and unpack some scriptures that perhaps you may have never seen these scriptures this way. I believe it's really going to be helpful. And here's a question I have for us today, and that is, who is the first worshiper? Who is the first worshiper? God. And I think it's important that you look back at the first mention of something. When you're studying a topic, scholars tell you in Bible school, you know, when you go back to the first mention of it, you'll find the purest teaching, the original teaching of it. And so when we look at who the first worshiper here is, one of the angels by the name of Lucifer, one of the archangels named Lucifer. In the Bible, there's three angels that are mentioned. And there's angels that release things in the heavenlies to us. And one of those that is mentioned is the angel Michael. Michael always responds to prayer. The angel Michael, the archangel, always is responding to prayer. He responded to Daniel's prayer when Daniel was praying for 21 days in the Bible. And an angel appeared to him. And he said, I would have come earlier. I heard you the first day that you started praying, but I was hindered. There was some war in the heavenly. So we need to know that. That may freak you out a little bit, but when you pray, there's some things that are released in the heavenly. There's some angels that are dispatched, some things, some activity is happening. That may scare you. It excites me. I just think it's wonderful. You really think about that. And then there's another angel, the angel Gabriel, and he oftentimes will respond with a message. He was the one, you remember, in the Christmas story that appeared to Mary and gave her the word from the Lord. He's always delivering a word or a message from God. And then there's Lucifer. There was Lucifer that was associated or over worship in heaven. In heaven, think about this, there was always representation by these three. Third, a third, and a third. You look at that. There's prayer, the word, and worship. Those three, we see those in heaven. In fact, it says that when Satan fell, that he took a third of the angels with him. Now, I don't know. There's nothing biblical. This is just my idea. But could it be that the angels are broken up into three different areas, focusing on the prayer and on the word and on worship? I don't know. But I do know this, that in church, not only in heaven, but in church, we need these three things happening. We need the prayer, we need word, and we need worship. Can I tell you, in your own life, you need these three things happening. You need prayer, you need word, and you need worship. In your quiet time, I would encourage you, if you only have 15 minutes, take 15 minutes, do 5 minutes in prayer, 5 minutes in the word, and 5 minutes in worship. And you'll see that it will change your life if only you have 15 minutes. But I want to jump into some text here, and I want to study for a moment where it talks about Lucifer, and I'm going to take some scriptures from Isaiah and from Ezekiel. Now it's the first one is in Isaiah chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. And before I read that, let me just say that this, if you read it in context, it's saying that this is directed to King of Babylon, to which you might say, well, it's not talking about Lucifer. It's talking to the King of Babylon. But oftentimes in Scripture, there's something that's directed, a message that's directed to a person, but it's referring to the spirit behind it. It's directed to a person, but it's directed to a spirit behind it. Let me give you an example. When Peter stood up and said something to Jesus on one occasion, Jesus actually rebuked him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, he was talking to Peter, but he was actually talking to the spirit that was behind that was speaking, basically, in essence, influencing what Peter was doing, right? So he was saying to the kingdom of Babylon, but he was talking to Lucifer. You'll see it. Okay, so let me get into it. And in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, he says this. Now you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to earth, you who once lay low the nations. Okay? So you see, you've fallen from grace. So that's obviously Lucifer that happened to. Okay, going to the next scripture there. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. So he is sharing what had occurred. What had happened. And then he said, Satan said this, Lucifer said this, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Now, interesting, he said the Most High. The fact of the matter was that in his heart, he resented the fact that God was giving all the glory, that he was the Most High. And he wanted to get the worship and attention for himself. He wanted attention off of God and on anything else. And can I tell you that that's what the enemy wants to do oftentimes in our life. He wants to get our attention off of God and anything else but God. And we need to be careful with that, that any time we redirect our worship off of anything, we're actually helping Satan reach his goal. So I want to see, we can see this even when Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4, and also in Luke chapter 4, he was tempted. And Satan said, fall down and worship me, to Jesus. Because he was the little, Lucifer was the little g god of this world. And he said, and I'll give you all of this. He was wanting to have the worship. So we need to be careful of where we invest our worship, our attention, our passions, our time, our energy, our money. It's important. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 11 says this, "Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments." Now this is very interesting. According to this, and according to many scholars, there was a part of the being of Lucifer that they say he was a string instrument. It was part of his being. Now, this is deep, but I want you to follow that. We'll come back to this. Let me read on. Continuing in Ezekiel. "You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden." Remember that? In the form of a serpent. "The garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you." He was adorned with precious stones. File that. God equipped him with strings. He adorned him with jewels. He goes on to say, carnelio. I can't pronounce this stuff. Y'all get the pronunciations right later. Crystallite, emerald, topaz, onyx, and jasper, lapis, lazuli, turquoise, a bunch of stones, and beryl, okay? "Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On that day you were created, they were prepared." But it goes on to say, "Your workmanship, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created." So not only, listen, part of him was a stringed instrument, and then he was adorned with stones. Then it says, it talks about timbrel and pipes. Timbrel is referring to cymbals, and pipes is those things that you blow. So he was a stringed instrument. He was a wind instrument. Pipe, timbrel and pipes, something you blow. And so every part of him was designed to produce music and worship to God. I just want to point something out. I know this is deep. Just bear with me. Everybody take a deep breath. Wax on, wax off. Everybody good? Everybody good? All right? Look at this. In music, every instrument falls into one of three categories. There's stringed instruments, as those things that you pluck. That's the violin, that's the banjo, even the piano. You hit it, but there's things there hitting the strings. And then there's percussion, that's things that you hit, the drums, cymbals you hit. And then there's wind instruments. Those are things that you blow, like the trumpets, flutes. Where's my saxophone players? Come on, trombone back there, right? Those are the wind instruments. And according to scripture, if you look at this and you break this down, Lucifer possessed all three of these in his being, and he was adorned in jewels. And then it goes on to say, "You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you." So he was anointed meaning that when he did music, stuff happened. Meaning, what I want to point out is that music is powerful. It can shape culture. It will shape you. What you listen to shapes you. That can be verbal or it can be musical. What you listen to can shape you. So to worship or music, there's an anointing power that comes with music. And it can be good or it could be bad. I was a music ed major at Florida State, and we studied this thing called ethos, the doctrine of ethos. And it means that good music can make you good and bad music can make you bad. Now, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, they discovered that. But it's true. There's a powerful element of music. Culture shapes, is shaped oftentimes by music. Let me give you this fact. Ozzy Osbourne wrote a song many years ago called Suicide Solution. In that year of 1980, when that song came out, suicide went up by 400% in America. In other words, it worked. And Satan still has this power, even through music, to get his agenda out through the music industry. Let me read on. It says, "You were in the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in all your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade," see, it's an industry there, "you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before the kings." So look at what happened there to him. He was thrown out of the kingdom of God. And I just think that's hilarious when you think about what happened with him. The disciples came up to Jesus one time, and they were just amazed that they could cast out demons out of people. They said, "Even the devils are subject to you. Even the demons are subject to you." And Jesus said, "Oh, that's nothing. I was there. Don't be so impressed. That's easy. I was there when my father threw Satan out," and he said it was like lightning. In Luke chapter 10 and 18, he says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." I don't know if y'all see humor in scripture, but I think it's just funny. I mean, that's nothing. I was there when God said, "You're gone," and it was like, bam, he was gone. It was like a lightning bolt. He was there 1 minute, and he was gone the next. See, some of us think that it's like the Star Wars movie. You know, there's this long, drawn-out battle between God and Satan, good and evil, and it's just, oh, it's a conflict. And listen, in one moment, he was there and he wasn't there. If God were to make a movie about Satan being thrown out of heaven, the movie would last, it wouldn't be like this long six-part series. It would be like 1 millisecond. Boom, you're gone. I just want you to know how great our God is, okay? How powerful our God is, okay? He's no match. We serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. So we look at this. So he's gone. So Satan was made. I don't want to call him Satan, devil, or Lucifer, or whatever you want to call him. But he was made to be a worshiper of God. He was to reflect God's glory. He was to bring honor and glory to God. Well, he got fired. He lost his job, right? He was kicked out. So, that being said, there's an opening. There's an unemployment of a cherub, right? There's an unemployed cherub. So there's a vacancy. There's an opening on God's staff. And there's three areas that need to be filled. That's prayer, the word, and worship. So here's the question for us. And that is, who is the new worship leader? Well, we know the answer to that. It's you and it's me, right? Because listen, everything that Lucifer had, all of that has been put into you and me to do the job. We are now anointed. But we need to make sure that we redirect that back to the one that's worthy of our praise. Now listen to this. This is good, y'all. Hang with me. He created you and I to be the type of instrument that Lucifer was in heaven. Let me show it to you, okay? Let me show it to you. Remember the three areas? Stringed instrument, wind instrument, and percussion instrument. Okay? You and I, God made us to be a stringed instrument. We have vocal cords that are stringed instruments. If you were to go into a doctor who was able to do it, they can take a video and slow it down and show you your strings are just going like this when you sing, when you speak, right? You have string. You are a stringed instrument where we can voice forth our praise to God. We are a stringed instrument before God. Not only that, but we are a wind instrument. So we take a breath and we breathe out through across those strings and we voice praise to God. We're a wind instrument to sing praise to God. Amen. We are a percussion instrument. We can put our hands together and we can give praise to God. Come on, everybody. That's good stuff. God's made us to be an instrument. Every part of us was designed to worship God. You are the replacement for the unemployed cherub named Lucifer. Let me give you three truths about this. I want you to grab hold of these and live these out. Write this down. Number one, this is the truth. If we look at this, God made me from him. God made me from him. Now, when God made you, he made you for himself. The creation account, there's two things. Some things were created. God created some things, and he made some things. And when you create it, you create something from nothing. He says, let there be light. Bam, there's light. He created that. You and I can't create anything. We can make something. We can't just take it from nothing and make something. We can only take something and make something. We can make something. And then he created some things, but then he made some things. And that's when you take something that's already existed and make it from that thing. Like you take a piece of clay and you can make a vase out of it. This is so important. This is so good. This is the deep end of the pool, everybody. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11 says that God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land. Now notice, he didn't say let there be trees. He looked at the earth and said, earth, produce some trees. And look at this. For everything that was made, he wanted there to be a relationship from that it was made from. I want to repeat that again because that's so important. For everything that was made, he wanted there to be a relationship from that which it was made. Whenever he made something from something, he wanted the two to remain close. Follow me? Earth, produce a tree. Earth, make a tree. And the tree, you were made from the dirt, and it sustains you. And you'll go back to the dirt. But you need to stay close to the dirt, because anytime you get out of the dirt, guess what? You're going to die. So you need to stay in relationship. Right? Think about it. God created woman from the man. Remember, he put the man to sleep and took a rib out of the man. And Adam said, whoa, man, when he saw her. That's funny, y'all. I don't care what you say. Okay. He took the rib from Adam, and Adam said, oh, now you are bone of my bone. You are flesh of my flesh. Why is that important? Because God wanted there to be a relationship between the two. So the question is, was mankind created or made? We were made. And then you say, from what? Look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image. So let's take, let us make mankind from us. God's saying from us, from our image. God, the Trinity, God, the Godhead, let us make man in our image. From us. He said, let's take a part of us and put it in mankind. Let's make man out of our own image. So look at this. Every one of us were made from God. Why is that important? We came from God, and we can only be sustained by God, and one day we're going to return to God. Are you getting this? And you say, no, that's not right. If you read it, man was made from the dust of the earth. No, listen, your body was. And your body will go is from the dirt and sustained by the dirt because we eat stuff from it that the land produces, and our body will return to this earth. But your spirit man came from God. It's sustained by God, and it will return to God. Amen? That's a good place for us. Praise God right there. And the day you decide that you can live your life and disconnect from that is a day from that which you were made is the day that you'll die. Right? Why is this so important for us to get closer? Because God personalized our relationship because he made you from himself. Which sets up the second thing here. Sets up number two. Reason why we're made from him is number two, God made me to be with him. Write that one down. God made me to be with him. So we're from him, so there would be a relationship between the two. I'm convinced that too many people have a formal relationship with God but really don't know him. And it's important to know him. We really don't want to be close to him. I want to be okay with God, but I really don't want to have a close relationship. And I really don't like him. He's just kind of up there. It's not important. You know, I'll show up to your house every now and then, you know, on Sundays, but I really get reconnected. I'll see you next Sunday, but I want to live my life the way I want to live my life. This is a dangerous position to be, because the Bible says on Judgment Day, Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, that there'll be many that call me Lord that won't get into heaven. There'll be many that will say to me, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I never knew you. We didn't get close. I didn't have a relationship with you. Your attendance on Sunday, yeah, that was nice, but that was really not what I wanted. I didn't want just your attendance or your money. I wanted you. And here's an extreme example in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. It says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And we love that, especially at weddings. Oh, that's the woman. You know, we love that. But look what he goes on to say. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Get this. Talking about Christ in the church. So when you see that couple that's getting married, and you see them, they can't wait to get through the wedding, and they can't wait to get through the reception, and get on their honeymoon, but that couple that's going to love each other and live together and do life together and talk together every day, God says, that's what I want. That's what I want. He was never interested in religious people. You know, Sundays we get our best on and we sing songs and all that, and that's great and that's wonderful. But the marriage relationship, that close, intimate relationship, that's really what God wants. And that's where it all ends. It's going to end there one day where God, there's this wedding, there's this marriage that's going to take place. And it's all wrapped up in this thing of getting to heaven and being with him. He wants us with him. And I think some of us have the wrong concept of what heaven is. You know, heaven, we think it's going to be this choir that you're going to be so in awe of God. You're going to look down the whole time. You're never going to look up for 10,000 years. And you're going to just be bowing down saying, you're holy, you're holy, you're holy. And God's already got that covered. He's got an angel in heaven that does nothing but just say, holy, 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 all the time. He's got that one covered. And God's sitting there going, I know. Okay. What he really wants is you. He wants a relationship with you. And some of you think, oh, I know, when I get to heaven, I'm gonna play a harp, I'm gonna grow wings, I'm gonna fat, I'm gonna sit on a cloud. No, that's not what it's gonna be. It's gonna be a wedding, and the wedding is gonna have a reception, and that reception, come on, is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're gonna walk down the aisle, we're gonna be married to Jesus, and there's gonna be a party. Come on, we're gonna have a lot of food. There's gonna be meatballs with those little toothpick things. We're gonna laugh, we'll have life, we're gonna be with Jesus, right? That's what heaven is really all about. I know some of you men are thinking that, because that's kind of weird. I'm a bride. Yeah. God wants an intimate relationship with us. We're called the body of Christ. In fact, look at Revelation chapter 21. It says, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, out of heaven from God. See, the point is, God sees you as someone he wants to be intimately close with. And the marriage relationship is just an example of that for us to understand that. Revelation 21, let me give you this one. It says this. Verse 19, the foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. Now, I told you to file away the fact that Lucifer was adorned with stones. Look at this. Satan was covered with them. Well, now God says, I'm going to cover the worship leader's house with the new worship leader's house with stones. See, I don't get that. I don't understand that. You don't understand that? Guys, you don't understand that? You ever, like on Christmas morning, you know, after they've opened all the gifts, you're still sitting there, and there's your wife, and you take that little velvet box and you say, hey, honey, whoa. And she says, oh, you know, and you know what happens after that? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, all good. You know, it's because you just want to do that. You just want to adorn her. You just want to give her something to make her happy. You just want to God wants to adorn your house. Come on, our house with precious stones. Think about it. Think about it. And it's the heart of God. In fact, it goes on to say that he adorns every precious stone. The first stone was jasper. The second was sapphire. The third, agate. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, onyx. The sixth, ruby. The seventh, crystallite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, turquoise. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, amethyst. Don't check me on pronunciations, okay? He's over the top in love with you. Are you getting this? He's over the top in love with you. He never wanted this to be a Sunday Christianity. He made you from him. He made you to be with him. Thirdly, write this one down. God made me to express love to him. All he wants for you is to love him back. He wants you to answer the phone and say, yeah, yeah. We could be in relationship. It's so beautiful, yet so powerful. So simple, so powerful. John chapter 4 says this, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. So again, God's not just looking for church attendance or for you to serve him or do something. He's looking for you to be in relationship with worship. Now the Greek word for worship is kind of, it's interesting. It's the word proskuneo in the Greek. And our word for that, because we really didn't have a good word for that in the English word, we used the word worship. Worship. But that's not the word. It's actually a verb. It's a verb. And I don't want to give, it's not the word that you think it would be. It's amazing. It's shocking what the word is. Okay? When you think of what does God want? What does he really want? So are you ready for the word that it really means? It's shocking. You ready? It's kiss. That's the word. That's the word. Father is looking for those who want to kiss him. Now listen, it's not the kiss of lovers, okay? Actually, the word is more in line with that of a dog licking his master's hand. Anybody got dogs? Okay, anybody got cats? Okay, dogs all go to heaven, cats. never mind. Anyway, be nice, Pastor, be nice. What happens when your dog comes home and you've been away for like 1 hour, you know? You haven't been gone all long. You've been gone like to them all day. It's like you're driving up. It's like before you can even get in the door. You get in the door, I mean, Mine hugs my leg. I got a little fuzzy miniature black poodle, okay? I'm sorry, it's a poodle, all right? They don't shed. They're smart dogs. He wraps his paws around and just, and lately he'll get a toy in his mouth and he just, I was like, tell me, how was your day? You know, and then the dogs, you know, they'll take the laps. Zoom, zoom, zoom. We don't have carpet on our floors. It's just hardwoods, you know? And it's just like, I'm doing the best I can. I'm coming around the corner. I'm just doing the best I can. I can't believe you're home. That's dogs. Don't you love dogs? Cats? Listen, you don't own a cat. Cat owns you. Just saying. One comedian actually said, sorry, we should believe church people will laugh. One comedian said, you could tell your dog loves you more than your spouse. Said, lock both in the trunk for an hour. Come back in an hour and see which one's happy to see you. I don't recommend you do that, but it's true. Just saying. Listen, of all the words that God could have used, that's the word. You ever go through an airport? What if you get off of a plane at an airport and you've got nobody there to greet you? And then take another snapshot and you get off that plane and there's a whole crowd of people. And they've got signs and they've got posters and they've got flowers and they're hugging you and they're welcome and there's pictures taken and all those things. Which would you prefer? Come on, think about it. God wants that kind of love. So we need to quit treating God as if he's some distant, faceless, feelingless being that exists on the pages of Scripture or on some flannel graph of Sunday school, and realize that he's searching for those, listen, that are waiting at the door. I can't wait to see him. You know, we need to be that kind of a church where it's not just a song service, but we're so deeply in love with God. Can we get in? Can we get my seat? Can we worship God? I don't care who's there. God's there. Praise God. I want to worship him. I'm in love with him. Can y'all believe I get to worship God today? Come on, that's what God really wants. That's what God wants. He doesn't just want form or religion or somebody just following a bunch of rules. Come on, the rules will follow when we fall in love with him. Those will take care of themselves. Those are important, but it happens. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So there's a comment. Which side do we live on? We think, keep your commandments, you're going to love me. No, he's saying, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In other words, that's going to happen because you love me. Right? Think about it. That's what he's wanting. He's wanting to have a deep love relationship with us. Would you bow your head to me this morning? God, thank you for your Holy Spirit that draws us to you, draws us close. I pray, Father, that you would help us to hear your voice speaking to us. Sense, Lord, that you're drawing us closer to you. Help us to respond.
Help us to answer the phone. Help us to say yes. Allow you to come in and be our best friend. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here today and you're feeling that drawing that's something in you saying, I need a closer relationship with him. That's the Holy Spirit that does that. That's not your own doing. That's the Holy Spirit drawing you. I want to help you respond to him. Allow him to come into your life and be Lord of your life. For those of you that are ready to commit and say, yes, I'm ready to say yes. I'm ready to answer that phone. I'm ready to say, God, come in to my life and be the Lord of my life. It may be that you've never done that. It may be that you've done that, but you know that you're not where you're supposed to be in your relationship with him, and you need to recommit today. I want to lead you in a prayer where you can allow him to come in. Allow him to come in and forgive your sins, to allow him to come in and have your whole heart. So I'd like to help you with a prayer. I can't pray this for you, but I can help you with the words and help lead you in this prayer. If you're here today, you know that you need to pray that kind of prayer. I want to pray with you right where you are. I'm not asking you to stand or come to the front or embarrass you. Just right where you're seated, I want to lead you in that prayer. If that's you today, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in that prayer? That's for me. Would you just slip up your hand? You can put it right back down. Yes, good job. Awesome. Yes, thank you. Good job. If you're watching online, I encourage you to join with us. Yes, thank you. Can I just help you with this prayer? And could we do this? Could we do it this way? Could everybody just kind of pray this out loud together for those of you that really need to pray this so you can just express it with your voice? Let me just lead you in this prayer. Can you pray something like this? God, today I invite you to come in my heart. Forgive me, Lord, for at times loving other things more than you. Lord, I ask you to be the Lord of all. Come into my heart. I'm redirecting my love to you. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me of everything that I've done wrong. Thank you for paying for my mistakes and my sins. Lord, I surrender my way to your way, my will to your will. Today, come inside and make me brand new. Come on, put it this way. Say, I give you my life. And with all my heart, I'll follow you. I'll follow you as you help me. Jesus, thank you for every person who prayed that prayer today. I invited you to come in. Now today, Lord, everything's changed. I pray, God, the spirit of encouragement come inside their life, Lord, as you guide and direct every step. Lord, help us each day to fall in love with you, to love you more and more. To know you is to love you. May we know you more and more and follow you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, for it's the only way to experience true peace and joy. I celebrate with all those that have made the best decision of their life today. And I pray that you continue to draw all of us closer and closer to you, Lord. God, do a work in us that you may do a work through us. And for all that you do, we give all the credit to you, Father. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.